defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man. Your host for the Bible Answer Man is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. Today, Hank brings back Elliot Miller, editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, the publication of CRI. The current issue of the journal updates us on where the Word of Faith movement stands today, what the reaction to the Tomb of Jesus documentary is, plus the proliferation of multiculturalism and tolerance of lifestyles on college campuses, and much more. This is just a glimpse of the fascinating topics you'll find in each issue of the Christian Research Journal, so start your own subscription to this quality publication. To order, dial 888-7000-CRI. You'll also find it on our website at equip.org. And now here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And do remember, if you subscribe to the Christian Research Journal today, your first issue will come out to you free of charge. The number to dial again, 888-7000-CRI, or you can order in a secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. As advertised, with us today from Southern Florida, Elliot Miller. He's the editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal. The current issue has a cover story titled Christianity Still in Crisis. Nice being with you, Elliot, on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
And it's great to be here, Hank. So much enjoy your fellowship and also being able to talk to you about the great truths of the Christian faith and how we're trying to take a stand for them in the Christian Research Journal.
We're going to spend a little time talking about Christianity Still in Crisis and some of the prominent teachers who are distorting the faith once for all delivered to the saints. But the Christian Research Journal has much, much more packed into its pages. There's a Newswatch section, and the story here by Douglas LeBlanc is that the local churches win some allies among former critics. Give us an overview of who the local churches are, what they represent, and then I want to ask you some more questions.
Okay, well, this is a movement that originated in China. It traces its roots back to Watchman Nee, who many Christians are familiar with, the author of The Normal Christian Life, Sit, Walk, Stand, many other books that many Christians include in their devotional libraries. Lee was involved with something called the Little Flock Movement in China, and it came under severe persecution when the communist government took over around 1950. And so he was in prison, and he died in prison in the 1970s. But one of his fellow workers that worked under his leadership, but was also a leader within the movement, Witness Lee, then took that movement to Taiwan during the communist reign, and from there sent workers out to establish churches in the United States, and he eventually moved to the United States as well in the 1970s. So they were right here during the Jesus movement of the 1970s, when young people were converting to Christ en masse, and when there were all kinds of what we now call new religious movements, both within a Christian context as well as New Age or Eastern, in any number of different contexts. And some of those movements caused concern both among secular society or among Christians, and so the counter-cult movement as well as the secular anti-cult movement all both originated, or at least really took off, in the 1970s. And at CRI, we were among the counter-cult groups that looked at the local church movement, and just to be accurate, they don't call themselves the local church with a capital L and a capital C, but they emphasize locality, that there's one church in each city and that all believers should be together, rather than they consider having a denominational name as furthering division within the body of Christ, and so they simply speak of themselves as the church in Anaheim, or, the church in Los Angeles or London or wherever. And that's how they became known as the local church. but they became controversial both because of teaching and practice. Some of Witness Lee's teaching sounded like it was similar to what I was discussing yesterday when I was discussing T.D. Jakes. It sounded like it was coming from a modalistic place. He would say Jesus is the Father, and people understood this to be denying the distinction between the persons and the Trinity. And they also, because of their teaching on localism, even though they were trying to promote the unity in the body of Christ, the way a lot of the members would apply this teaching, it ended up creating division where you were not in the church if you weren't meeting with them. And there were even some statements in Witness Lee's literature about Roman Catholic Church being Babylon and the Protestant churches being her daughters or something. You know, so statements that fueled a sense of sectarianism about the local church. And there were practices that seemed strange. If you went to a meeting of the local church, they would practice what they called pray reading, and they would take a passage of scripture and they would repeat it in a prayerful way that came across to some people as chanting or some kind of mindless mantra. So that was controversial. And furthermore, this whole teaching of the church in some way participating in deity. There were statements about how God, the Father, became the Son became the Spirit, and now the Spirit is becoming the church, in a sense. And statements like that sent up red flags and alarms about the local church. So it's always been controversial. Is this a non-Christian cult, or is this an aberrational Christian group? But there was pretty much consensus in the counter-cult movement that it was a problem. And then the secular anti-cult movement put their sights on them as well, because they seem to be dividing families, or they seem to have some of the marks of a cult. So that was the general consensus in the counter-cult and anti-cult worlds in the 1970s and in the 1980s. And CRI was right in there with them, publishing literature on the local church, although we never, ever classified, at any point in our history, and I've been here through the whole time, never classified them as a cult, but rather said that some of their teaching was cultic and that they were an aberrant Christian group. So that's the background. And then more recently, you know, the local church has a reputation for being litigious. They were involved in lawsuits responding to books that had been published about them in the 1970s, one by the Spiritual Counterfeits Project, another by a man named Jack Sparks. And they actually won in those lawsuits and were vindicated, and at least by the courts, although the Christian community just saw that as another problem with them, that they were litigious. But more recently, there was a lawsuit with regard to Harvest House for publishing a book, The Encyclopedia of Cults and New Religions, in which they were included. But with all that background, we were approached by some of the leaders within the local church movement a few years ago, just wanting to have dialogue with us. And it has always been our position to welcome dialogue. We have never, in the whole history of CRI, turned that down. I mean, we seek to establish communication and to win people over rather than to simply lob names at them. This is a cult or whatever. You know, we're all for winning people over to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or if we have been wrong about somebody, we have always been ready and willing to admit it, because we don't claim to be infallible, even though we seek to be as careful as we can in our evaluations of groups. But, you know, our basic position is truth needs to out, you know. And even if we've been wrong, then that's what needs to be stated. So we were open to dialogue with them, and in this dialogue, we came to realize that we had actually, you know, and even one of the authors of our original material, Gretchen Pasentino, who was very much involved in our everything that we ever did in the local church in the past, including news articles in the 1990s, she, as well as I, came to realize that because of the language problems of coming over from China and the cultural differences, the local church didn't always make their position as clear as they should have. But we see that on some of the most fundamental issues in which we had considered them to be out of step with Orthodoxy, we had really misunderstood them. And so I'm currently involved in a research project on the local church, And we'll be doing a feature article in the Christian Research Journal that will assess them in a manner similar to what I did with Theopostic Prayer Ministry a couple of years ago. It doesn't come out as a glowing endorsement, but it's a nuanced critique, and it recognizes where these people have been misunderstood and sort of sets the record straight with regard to what they really believe, and also says that they should be accepted as Christian brothers and sisters.
Well, I think one of the things that I want to underscore here is that we meet with organizations many years ago. We spent a lot of time with the Worldwide Church of God, which was legitimately a cult, and they have, as a result of their own understanding of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, given up a lot of their cultic positions and have come to thoroughly embrace the historic Christian faith. So they've come out of cultism to Christ. And I had the privilege of writing the foreword to Joseph Tkach, the pastor general of the Worldwide Church of God, his book, Transformed by Truth. So they say, yes, we were a cult. We've come out of cultism to Christ. With the local church, however, we have spent a lot of time with them behind the scenes and have become absolutely convinced that this is a group that is neither cultic from a sociological or from a theological perspective. And yet they have been, as you point out, Elliot, charged with illegal, immoral, and antisocial behaviors, and as such been charged with cultism, not only from a theological perspective, but a sociological perspective as well. Again, the Newswatch in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal deals with the local churches and all the things that Elliot was just talking about, and a feature article will appear in a subsequent issue of the Christian Research Journal on that particular subject. The current issue of the Christian Research Journal, however, has focused itself on Christianity Still in Crisis as the cover story, and we're looking at the ministries of T.D. Jakes, Joel Osteen, Rod Parsley, Creflo Dollar, Joyce Meyer, and more. And again, as we said yesterday in this regard, they have embraced a word of faith theology that posits faith as a force, words as the containers of the force, and contend that through the force of faith, one can create their own reality. And this is something that is communicated consistently by men like Rod Parsley. I want you to listen for just a moment and then comment on what Rod Parsley says in the Trinity Broadcasting Network about how we should see wealth by actually experiencing it.
Say, I'm on my way to houses I didn't build. Some of you better get ready to drive around in neighborhoods where you never thought you'd be able to afford to live. Some of you better go down to that Lexus and Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it. And when they say, what are you doing? Just say, well, I'm just feeling out what my Father's going to give me. Well, how's he going to give it to you? Because I'm going to be obedient. I heard a word from the man of God, and when I obey that word, it unleashes that anointing into my life, and I'm on my way to houses I didn't build, full of good things I didn't have to buy.
At best, Elliot, it sounds like he's over-promising and underperforming.
Well, and at worst, it sounds like what I think it is, and that is a gospel of greed. This is the Americanization of the gospel in the worst possible sense. The consumer values, you got the status symbols of possessions, that this is where my worth is from, the orientation around convenience and ease and indulgence and toys and so forth, that is such a part of what's wrong with America, is now embodied in a perverted interpretation of the gospel, taking passages completely out of context, as if Jesus was teaching us that the value of the gospel is what we can get in terms of earthly possessions, when, in fact, he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. If any man is not willing to give up all of these things, he's not worthy of me. And you look at the manner in which he and his disciples lived, and not only them before the cross, but the apostles after the cross, and it is certainly not an emphasis on earthly possessions or ease and comfort. It's an emphasis on service and denial of self.
Ultimately, a development of an eternal perspective, eyes that can look beyond time and space into eternity. It is not about mean earthly vanities, but eternal verities. The subject of the Christian Research Journal current edition feature story, Christianity Still in Crisis, a Word of Faith update. The journal's available to you right now when you give us a call at 888-7000-CRI or log into the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you subscribe today, first issue comes out to you free of charge. Your questions on the other side of the break for Elliot Miller. Please don't touch that dial.
This fall, as your child heads off to receive their higher education, are they also going to receive some high levels of propaganda? Among the most common topics talked about today on the campus are multiculturalism and diversity. This is far from the melting pot idea that made our country great. It is instead a form of politically correct indoctrination that leaves little room for your child's Christian faith. Find out more about this phenomenon on the college campus and in the media in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. To subscribe, simply call our resource line toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at our website, www.equip.org. Stay tuned. The Bible Answer Man will return in just a moment. More than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal.
Each journal gives you the information you need to know about what you believe.
Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. It's been 14 years since Hank Hanegraaff wrote Christianity in Crisis, chronicling an aberration in the church called the Word of Faith movement. What's the status of this movement today? Can these teachers pass scrutiny with Scripture? You'll find an extensive examination in the journal. This fall, your college-age child will be hearing a lot about multiculturalism and diversity. Far from the melting pot concept, it is a form of political correctness that leaves little room for your child's Christian faith. Find out more in the journal. And now, for every new subscription to the journal, you'll receive the current issue absolutely free. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or find out more on our website at equip.org.
I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to John listening on KFAX. Hi, John.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y. Or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith. It's like including Hank in your Bible studies. Call now and order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Look for it on our website at equip.org.
Outside of the holy words of Jesus and the Holy Spirit-inspired writings of the Bible, the words of men such as Augustine, Martin Luther, and Jonathan Edwards have most stirred the Christian church throughout history.
I seek an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade.
Now, these timeless works have been captured on CD by master storyteller Max MacLean in a collection called Classics of the Christian Faith. This high-quality compilation contains five of the greatest works by five of the greatest leaders of church history. It will enhance your Christian walk and give you a new appreciation for our rich heritage.
My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me.
Classics of the Christian Faith CD Collection, narrated by Max MacLean. To order, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Find it on our website at equip.org.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man, broadcast across the United States and Canada from the Christian Research Institute. If you find today's program of particular interest, we invite you to call CRI and order your own subscription of the Christian Research Journal. You won't find a higher quality, more in-depth publication for defending the faith. The latest issue is just now coming out, covering topics ranging from the Word of Faith movement today to multiculturalism on the college campus to the repackaging of the Hindu religion for a Western audience. To start your subscription, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to www.equip.org to order your subscription to the Christian Research Journal. Now, here to tell us more about what's inside the journal is our guest, Elliot Miller, and our host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And I couldn't help but think as you were speaking about one of those classics, Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. I've been listening to it in the car as I drive around, and it is worth the price of the series. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Again, it's called Classics of the Christian Faith, narrated by Max McLean. Next to the Bible, these classics have had the greatest impact imaginable on the Christian faith. They're available when you give us a call, 888-7000-CRI, or log into the World Wide Web at equip.org. If you hear the pap and dribble of Word of Faith teachers on television today, this might be the best antidote you can imagine. Again, talking to Elliot Miller about Christianity Still in Crisis, the cover story of the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. When you order today, the first issue, in fact, this issue comes out to you free of charge. The number to dial, 888-7000-CRI, or again, you can order online at equip.org on the World Wide Web, or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. A lot of people hanging on for a lot of time. We're going to go right to the phone lines. We'll go to Danny, listening on WMCA in New York, New York. Hi, Danny.
Hey, hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. You're on with Elliot Miller.
God bless both of you. You guys are incredible, true, strong men of God. My question is, I want to know, what do you think about the Paula White ministry?
Well, before Elliot answers, let me play a clip by Paula White, which will give people an idea of what she communicates and how.
Now, when God begins to speak, you get up and go to the phone, because God's telling you $68.19 for the next 12 months, which happens to be $818. Well, Deuteronomy 8:18 says that God will give you power to get wealth, to establish his covenant. Power means an anointing. Wealth is not just money. Wealth is a wholeness word. It is inclusive of money. But some people don't need money. They need joy. Some people don't need joy. They need restoration. Some people don't need restoration, they need healing. But I came to tell you, what God's getting ready to release is an inclusive of everything. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Wholeness, wholeness, wholeness. Spirit, soul, and body.
Here you have another example, Elliot, of a teacher that is casting Christianity into crisis. She is a classic Word of Faith teacher who believes that faith is a force. Words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith, one can create their own reality. And of course, in the clip that you just heard, she has a give-to-get scheme, and it is constantly working. She has profited from it mightily in her ministry. And again, this is not why we ask people to support a ministry like the Christian Research Institute. It's not to give to get, but rather to make an investment in the kingdom of Christ for time and for eternity. Let's go right back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Janice, listening on KPDQ in Newburgh, Oregon. Hi, Janice.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I met you several years ago in Atlanta at CBA. We used to have a Christian bookstore, and we had sold quite a bit of the Christianity in Crisis, your first one. And I also had the audiobook in there for people who would come in and they would want Kenneth Copeland or different authors that we refused to carry. We felt accountable to God for what we sold. So I'd always be able to play them a clip from that audiobook, and it was really interesting. One woman, it was like she didn't even... She said that you had to be faking because that wasn't Kenneth Hagin or Kenneth Copeland, whoever it was. And I looked at her incredulous. She knew the voice. She knew what that... She goes, he would never say anything like that. Unfortunately, I lent that out too many times, and I don't have it back. I am now working in a Christian bookstore because we don't have ours anymore, and I still use that. And I recommend people to get onto equip.org. I did pull Creflo Dollars yesterday after getting the... new journal. We do support you. But what about Juanita Bynum?
Yeah, this is another classic case in point of a teacher who is promoting a give-to-get scheme. Here's a clip of Juanita Bynum talking about how you ought to empty out your bank account.
Because you're watching me in television land, and you said all I got is 900. But I hear the Lord saying, I double dare people that are watching me right now, this one is for you, I double dare you to empty your checking account. If you got $79.36, empty it out. Empty it out at the voice of the prophet. If you got $736.19, if you're in this audience right now, y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. You looking at me like I done went off. Oh, Jesus. If you got $79.36, I double dare you to write your last check and declare your bank account empty, because God said something happens when you give him his last. He multiplies when you give him your last.
Well, Janice, that is just a quintessential clip from Juanita Bynum. A lot of times when you hear her, she's more animated than that. But one of the things she constantly pulls on people is this: hear the voice of the prophet. She declares that she's a prophet, hearing from the Lord, and therefore people fall into her traps. Elliot, this is using the power of authority to convince people who oftentimes are like sheep to do what they shouldn't do.
Right, and this interfaces with another very troubling movement within the charismatic movement that is also largely uncritically accepted by the charismatic movement at large, although there are blessed exceptions, and that would be the apostles and prophets movement, or the fivefold ministry. This is a whole other range of false doctrine that sometimes merges into heresy. And it's very troubling to see that it just continues to prosper, and it's becoming more and more influential within Christianity. It's another reason why Christianity is still in crisis.
Janice, thank you for your call and for your encouragement. If you want this clip, I'll be happy to send it out to you.
I would. In fact, I'd like an audio book.
We would be happy to do that for you.
Thank you so much.
Just hang on. Want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Lennon, listening on WNIV in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Lennon.
Hi. I have a question. According to the Bible, should we not be publicly criticizing these pastors? The Bible teaches us that we should approach them and address the situation that way first, before we go any further. It even says take two or three witnesses. But to bring it on the radio, that just doesn't seem right to me.
Well, let's talk it over. Elliot, does Matthew 18 apply here?
Well, Matthew 18 is dealing with when your brother sins against you, go to him in private first. And, you know, if he hears you, you've won your brother. If he doesn't hear you, then take two or three witnesses. And if he still doesn't hear you with the witnesses, then bring it before the church. And if he doesn't hear the church, then treat him as a heathen and a publican. In other words, disfellowship him. So this is clearly dealing with sin against an individual. It's a relational thing, and it's an issue of sin within the church. You don't find the same approach taken by the apostles when it comes to false teaching. False teaching, by its very nature, is public. It's not a personal matter between two individuals. It's errant teaching that is being broadcast and published abroad and is leading people astray. And once that's out there on the airwaves or in print, it needs to be corrected, whatever happens between the individuals involved. You know, we're not claiming that any of these people, Joel Osteen or T.D. Andy Jakes or Rod Parsley or any of them have sinned against us. It's not a matter of that. It's a matter of wrong teaching. The Apostle Paul warns against Hymenaeus. He even rebuked Peter in his letter to the Galatians, for he held him responsible for not representing the gospel correctly. No person gets special treatment where the truth of the gospel is at stake. Even the Apostle Peter was brought to task for that, because we're talking about people's souls here, their Christian growth, and so that is something that has to be dealt with publicly. Now, that doesn't mean it shouldn't be dealt with in Christian love, and I don't think that we have been going after these people on a personal level. We have been going after what they are teaching. And furthermore, CRI has a history of attempting to win these people privately as well as addressing their teachings publicly. You yourself, Hank, met several times with Benny Hinn. We wrote to Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland in an attempt to establish communication with them. And in many other cases, we have tried to bring correction to these people as Christian brothers. But the main point is, whether we succeed or fail at that, the errant teaching needs to be corrected publicly because it was presented publicly.
So the point here, Lennon, is that Matthew 18 does not apply to public correction, but many other passages like Galatians chapter 2 and others do, and they name names. And if there's spiritual cyanide that is being communicated by the megadose over the public airwaves, then we ought to warn people about that spiritual cyanide and the people that are communicating it.
Okay.
Again, many biblical examples could be used, and I have often referred to the Tylenol scare. There you had Tylenol laced with cyanide, and the newscasters warned us about it publicly. They didn't say, oh, we can't mention the name. No, people's lives were at stake physically. And we would say the same thing is true. When spiritual cyanide is being communicated, people's lives are at risk spiritually. And so we should name names, and there's a good biblical precedent for it. Again, we're talking about Christianity still in crisis. A Word of Faith update, cover story of the Christian Research Journal, current edition. And when you subscribe today, this edition comes to you free of charge. The number to dial, 888-7000-CRI. You can also order online at equip.org. Or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. If you can join the Bible Answer Man support team, we would deeply appreciate it as we approach our fiscal year end. The number to dial to join the Bible Answer Man support team, 888-7000-CRI, or just join online at www.equip.org. Be right back.
Millions of Christians enjoy watching Christian television, but are the preachers you're watching teaching a counterfeit Christianity? The latest issue of the Christian Research Journal exposes how some preachers like T.D. Jakes, Joel Osteen, Creflo Dollar, Joyce Meyer, and Rod Parsley are bringing about a Christianity still in crisis. Start your subscription to the Journal to make sure your faith is rightly fed. To start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal, call 888-7000-CRI. For every new subscription to the Journal, you'll receive the current issue absolutely free. That's a $6.50 value. The number again, 888-7000-CRI. Or start your subscription online by going to our website at equip.org. What are your plans for this summer? Here are two opportunities to come hear Hank Hanegraaff in person and have a memorable summer while you do. Hank is coming to New York State for Camp of the Woods. This is a camp the whole family will love. Hank will be the chapel speaker, opening week, June 23rd through the 30th. Then it's off to Orlando, Florida, where Hank is speaking at Student Leadership University. This will be a dynamic week for your teen, running July 2nd through 5th. Hank will be discussing three foundational apologetic issues: our origins, the deity of Christ and his resurrection, and the reliability of the Bible. These are three crucial issues that Hank believes every Christian should be equipped to address. Plus, he'll devote lots of time to answering questions from students. To register for either of these events, log on to our website at www.equip.org.
That's equip.org.
Now don't stray from this station. The Bible Answer Man will be right back after this.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal.
Each journal gives you the information you need to know about what you believe.
Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. It's been 14 years since Hank Hanegraaff wrote Christianity in Crisis, chronicling an aberration in the church called the Word of Faith movement. What's the status of this movement today? Can these teachers pass scrutiny with Scripture? You'll find an extensive examination in the journal. This fall, your college-age child will be hearing a lot about multiculturalism and diversity. Far from the melting pot concept, it is a form of political correctness that leaves little room for your child's Christian faith. Find out more in the journal. And now, for every new subscription to the journal, you'll receive the current issue absolutely free. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or find out more on our website at equip.org.
You are eternal life. You're source energy. You are God manifested in human form, made to perfection.
Does this rhetoric sound familiar? It ought to. These aged slogans of self-deity are now being marketed to a new generation through The Secret, the New York Times bestseller that argues that your thoughts have unlimited power, that a universal law of attraction will grant you anything you desire. But by following its advice, millions are setting themselves up for disaster. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has prepared a tract called What is the Secret? That analyzes and exposes this fraud. By sharing this tract with others, they'll discover that powerful living is found not in the secret, but in the Savior. Order your tracts from CRI titled What is the Secret? Call 888-7000-CRI. Please specify packs of 20 or 100 when you order. 888-7000-CRI or order from our website at equip.org.
These are the last of the last days. Oh, somewhere between 2003 and 2005, Jesus will come back.
How much longer do you think we really might have?
I don't believe we have another 10 years.
Anywhere from now till 2018, Jesus Christ will appear to set up his 1,000-year kingdom of revelation.
When will Jesus come back? The consensus is as varied as the number of so-called experts you ask. So where do you turn for definitive scriptural insight on the end times?
Understanding Revelation is now within your grasp. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff deals with today's most asked prophecy questions. It distinctively presents a method by which you can read the Bible for all it's worth. The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about end times and why it matters today by Hank Hanegraaff. To order, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or order online at equip.org.
You're listening to The Bible Answer Man, broadcast across the United States and Canada from the Christian Research Institute. If you find today's program of particular interest, we invite you to call CRI and order your own subscription of the Christian Research Journal. You won't find a higher quality, more in-depth publication for defending the faith. The latest issue is just now coming out, covering topics ranging from the Word of Faith movement today to multiculturalism on the college campus, to the repackaging of the Hindu religion for a Western audience. To start your subscription, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to www.equip.org to order your subscription to the Christian Research Journal. Now, here to tell us more about what's inside the journal is our guest, Elliot Miller, and our host, Hank Hanegraaff.
I just want to remind our listening audience that CRI's fiscal year will end on June 30. This is an important time for the ministry, and I hope you will consider supporting the Christian Research Institute financially with a gift by June 30. Our toll-free contact number is 888-7000 and the letters CRI. 888-7000-CRI. Or you can donate online and put your gift to work immediately at www.equip.org. When you subscribe to the Christian Research Journal today, you get the first issue absolutely free, and that issue is the issue with the cover story, Christianity Still in Crisis, A Word of Faith Update, which we have been discussing today with Elliot Miller. He's editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal. He's joining me and taking your calls from South Florida. Next up, Sandy, listening on KKHT in Houston, Texas. You're on the line with Elliot Miller. Hi, Sandy.
Hank. Hi, Elliot. I'm so thrilled to talk with you. I've been trying to get through for about 6 years.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no one can say I'm a quitter.
No.
Yeah. I really appreciate what you were saying about the way you handle things when someone is preaching false doctrine. And so my question would be on a much smaller scale. I belong to a healthy, well-balanced, Bible-believing church, and we have different teachers sometimes in my Bible study, and I've had on more than one occasion the teacher in the class say something that I knew was blatantly wrong, and I'm not really sure how to handle that. On one occasion, I went to the person afterward and asked them to clarify what they said, and we discussed it, and it was... It had a pretty good outcome, although one of my other class members climbed all over me for questioning the gentleman. And another time, one teacher mentioned a book by Joel Osteen and then recommended it as reading to everyone in the class. Well, I nearly bit my tongue off. I looked at the lady next to me, and we both, our eyebrows went up and our mouths popped open, but you know, what do you do in a situation like that?
Well, that's a good question. And, you know, this is a little bit different than the situations that we were describing with these public teachers, because this is, it may be public in a sense, but it's a closed system. You've got a group where everybody knows everybody else, and you have personal contact with the teacher by the very nature of what you're doing. So that in a situation like that, there is the issue of the person. Teachers, by their very nature, have authority within a church. Authority should be respected. And so how you go about, you definitely shouldn't just let it ride, but how you go about it is important. And probably the best approach that I would recommend would be to sort of do your research, put your information together so that you can clearly present what your concerns are about the person that the teacher recommended, or the book that the teacher recommended, and discuss it with that person. Maybe they will see the concerns that you have and correct the matter themselves the next Sunday. That would be ideal, and sometimes it can actually go that way. If it doesn't go that way, then you have to make a decision. Is this an error serious enough that I can let it ride because no church is perfect, and overall the teaching in this church is well-balanced and biblically sound, and it's not like they're recommending Joel Osteen every moment or whoever the teacher that would be causing concern? Or is it something where you see it having a negative impact and maybe there's a pattern here and it does need to be addressed, and you've addressed it with the teacher and the teacher hasn't received your input? You know, at that point, you may need to bring it to the rest of the pastoral team, or the pastoral team if this is just a Sunday school teacher or something, and just bring your concern to them about the fact that Joel Osteen or whoever is being promoted and see what they will do about it. That doesn't mean that there's no time when asking a question from the standpoint of the audience is appropriate. I remember I'd only been a Christian for less than a month, but I'd read in the scripture where John the Baptist was asked if he was Elijah. He said that he was not, and yet I was sitting in a Bible study in a thoroughly Orthodox, you know, it was in the Jesus movement in 1970-71, but we were evangelical Orthodox Christians, but we were all pretty wet behind the ears. I mean, the oldest Christian among us, the leader of the whole movement, had only been a Christian for 3 years, so we were all very inexperienced, and the pastor or elder of the house was teaching the nightly Bible study, and he taught that John the Baptist was the reincarnation of Elijah. And so I just simply raised my hand and said, what about this passage here where John says, I am not Elijah? And that sort of took him back, and afterward he came up to me and said I shouldn't have brought that up before the congregation. He was concerned about being humiliated, you know, but I think that that was fair game. I don't think I presented that question. And looking back on it now, 36 years later, I don't feel bad about that at all. I think it was appropriate to simply ask an honest question for everybody else to hear, because I wasn't challenging his authority. I was simply asking an appropriate question in a situation like that. And I think appropriate questions like that can be asked.
Again, do it with gentleness and with respect. And if the teacher really loves the truth, they're going to receive it as well, because any teacher in whatever capacity recognizes that with teaching there is the stricter judgment. And so I know that you and I and many other teachers, as we teach, do so with fear and trembling, as it were, because we know that we're going to be held accountable for what we say. And we also know that people make life decisions based on what a teacher says. And that is why I think when we play clips from Juanita Bynum or Rod Parsley or Paula White, it is a terrifying thing to recognize that they are exercising authority and leading many people astray in the process. In the Christian Research Journal, there are many articles as well, including an article titled In the Name of the Father, the Son, and in the Spirit of Diversity, Multiculturalism Goes to College. What is multiculturalism, and how does it go to college, Elliot?
Well, what this article in the latest issue of the journal is really dealing with is just the reality that in our public educational system, especially within our colleges, our higher educational system, the whole politically correct and postmodern view that there is no absolute truth and that the highest value is that we would tolerate diversity in our midst, you know, has really taken over to a point that it squelches any kind of critical response, any kind of diversity of opinion, so that ironically it has become the new orthodoxy. And that is the emphasis of our author, A.B. Kanadi, in this article that deals with this new orthodoxy on the college campus and critiques it. And so in the same issue as we're dealing with the word of faith, we're also dealing with this postmodern multiculturalism that we find in the secular world. And then in the same issue also, my associate editor, Wayne Mayhall, has written an article on karma. So it just shows you the diversity. Every issue, we're dealing with a wide range of subjects that affect the defense of the Christian faith and Christian discernment in our age.
One of the issues that we dealt with in this particular issue of the Christian Research Journal is the lost tomb of Jesus. And of course, Christianity cannot survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Christ, and yet there has been a great deal made out of the notion that the lost tomb of Jesus was actually discovered, which would, of course, negate his physical bodily resurrection.
Absolutely. You know, you can count on the journal to, like just 2-3 months ago, we were hearing about this. Oh, the lost tomb of Jesus has been discovered. His corpse has been found. And people were actually repeating this on major news networks. I think I heard it on CNN. Not necessarily declared as fact, but declared as possible fact. You know, not denied, not refuted. And you're going to run into this. I run into it with my own family. These ideas are out there. We need to have answers. And that's what you can count on the journal to do. And we've enlisted once again our good friend Paul Meyer, great scholar in archaeology, biblical archaeology, to deal with this and set the matter straight in his inimitable fashion. Just an excellent writer, entertaining as well as enlightening, and he really does put this whole idea to rest. And the same issue, we have an article on false gospels and those who love them, which deals with the popularity. It's a book review, and it deals with the popularity of the Gospel of Judas and all these other false gospels. Anything that comes along that would potentially provide historical evidence against Christianity is uncritically and enthusiastically embraced by a certain group of liberal scholars out there. And so we look at that, and you're going to find these kinds of answers and facts and resources in every issue of the Christian Research Journal.
We've been talking to Elliot Miller. He's editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal. Our goal has been to whet your appetite to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, the current issue, cover story, Christianity Still in Crisis, a Word of Faith update, and as Elliot just explained, much, much more included in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, and it is available to you right now when you give us a call at 888-7000-CRI. And when you do, the first issue comes out to you. In fact, this issue comes out to you free of charge. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal online on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Instrument broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
June 30th marks the end of our fiscal year, and as we come ever closer to this date, we're faced with a shortfall of $775,000. Yet, as you hear on the Bible Answer Man, there is no shortage of spiritual hunger that people have. Hank takes calls almost daily from people who've been deceived by counterfeit religions or cults. Others simply don't know how to read the Bible for all it's worth. If Christians are not equipped to communicate what they believe and why, then the historic Christian faith will be ever more marginalized in our culture. And that makes your gift to help overcome this $775,000 shortfall by June 30th critically important. So help us finish our fiscal year strong. Please pray for us, and as the Lord leads, contact us with your generous financial support. Call our toll-free number at 888-7000-CRI. You can also donate online for speed and convenience. Just go to www.equip.org. And thank you in advance for your help. It's been 14 years since Hank Hanegraaff wrote his famous work, Christianity in Crisis, chronicling an aberration in the church called the Word of Faith movement. So what is the status of this movement today? Can the teachings of such people as T.D. Jakes, Joel Osteen, Creflo Dollar, Joyce Meyer, and Rod Parsley pass scrutiny with Scripture? The latest issue of the Christian Research Journal has an extensive examination of the Word of Faith movement today and where it might go in the future. Now, this is just one more reason to call CRI and start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal. Right now is the perfect time to call since we've just released our latest issue. Call 888-7000-CRI and tell the resource consultant you'd like to order the award-winning Christian Research Journal. Right now, for every new subscription to the journal, you'll receive the current issue absolutely free. Again, the number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write to us to start your subscription at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. Our website is www.equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal.
Each journal gives you the information you need to know about what you believe.
Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. It's been 14 years since Hank Hanegraaff wrote Christianity in Crisis, chronicling an aberration in the church called the Word of Faith movement. What's the status of this movement today? Can these teachers pass scrutiny with Scripture? You'll find an extensive examination in the journal. This fall, your college-age child will be hearing a lot about multiculturalism and diversity. Far from the melting pot concept, it is a form of political correctness that leaves little room for your child's Christian faith. Find out more in the journal. And now, for every new subscription to the journal, you'll receive the current issue absolutely free. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or find out more on our website at equip.org.